The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Are we supposed to have sorrow for our sin? And if so, how much? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace Unfocused. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. I look forward to today's discussion because I think it's going to be an interesting one. We're currently in a series where we're taking questions from listeners not so unlike yourself. You can send in your own questions through email. Our email is radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace and Focus.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the show. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we've finished a series on salvation, and we're going back to taking your Q&A. So send your questions to radio@faithalone.org. Are you ready for a little change of pace here?
I am definitely ready for a little change of pace after 5 books on salvation, and you kept putting me through my paces.
Well, there's a lot of interesting questions there. You can only cover so much in 12 minutes, but it certainly was interesting. I hope it provoked a lot of questions in the listeners. Here's some, for example, not based on that series, but these are just questions that we get on a regular basis. His name is Dominic, and Dominic says, "Your sources have helped me understand salvation better." All right. Well, Dominic, I'm sure you're going to enjoy our whole series on salvation in 5 books. But I think he's talking about how to be born again.
Right.
But I have some questions that you might be able to answer. Some people teach that part of being saved is having sorrow for sin. But that makes things so confusing because then you have to ask the question, how much sorrow? As I've researched more about this topic, I've come across this source, and he gives a source. And there seems to be some things that are not correct in it. I was hoping you can take a look at it and let me know what you think.
No, this is a great question. Does he go on for anything else?
No, but basically I think the question is, what's the role of sorrow?
It seems to me sorrow for sin often is what leads a person to openness to the message of John 3:16.
Right.
But sorrow for sin is not a condition of everlasting life.
Right.
And if we think it is, then we get into this horrible confusion that Dominic is talking about. How much sorrow? What sins?
Right.
In other words, we're not even aware of most of our sins. I think of our sins as like the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
We're aware of what's sticking above the water, but 97% of it's below the water. And as we grow in the faith, we learn more and more things. Maybe the ice begins to push up and we're more and more aware. But even after we've walked with Christ for decades, we still have so many issues the Lord continues to reveal to us, right?
Right.
I mean, it's not like we get to some point where we're like, okay, now I only need to confess sins once every 2 years.
Right, right. I mean, on the one hand, sin is grievous. It grieves the heart of God. Doesn't,
right.
God doesn't like sin. We shouldn't be glad of our sins. We should.
Right.
I mean, David is a great example of this, of
right.
someone who's, you know, just broken up over his sin. But like you say, I always put it this way. Everybody has their own story of how they came to believe in Jesus for eternal life. And everyone's story is different.
Exactly. But the way in which you gain everlasting life is the same.
Right. Your story is not the condition to be born again. Like I always say, my grandmother, part of my story is my grandmother would pay me $5 to read articles by Charles Stanley and Billy Graham. You are not saved by having Sean's nanny pay you $5 to read. That's not a condition of salvation. You see what I'm saying? That's my story.
Right.
But that's not how you become born again.
Right.
And in my story, personally, but salvation is not believing in Jesus plus your story. Salvation is just by believing in Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, think of it this way. Where did Jesus mention sorrow for sin to Nicodemus in John 3? Well, it's not there. How about the woman at the well in John 4? It's not there. Now, some people say when he pointed out the fact that she's living with a man that she's not married to, that that's pointing out her sin. Well, it is, but not for the purpose of convincing her she's a sinner.
Mm.
It's for the purpose of convincing her that he's the Messiah and knows everything about her.
Right.
But even if you said this is convincing her of her sin, there's nothing about you need to be sorry for that sin.
Right.
And you need X level of sorrow for your sin.
Right.
And so what we don't find in the ministry of Jesus or the apostles I mean, when Paul is asked, what must they do to be saved? He doesn't say, well, you must be sorry for your sins and you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved.
Yeah.
No, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And when Paul gives a summary of salvation from eternal condemnation in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, he doesn't mention anything about sorrow for sin. By grace you have been saved through faith.
Mm.
And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Right.
And I should point out, by the way, that sorrow for sin is also not a condition for the believer to gain fellowship forgiveness when we confess our sins.
Right.
Haven't you ever wondered, and I bet Dominic has as well, how sorry do I have to be about my sin when I'm confessing it? What I would suggest is sorrow for sin is not a condition of being born again. The only condition of being born again is believing in Jesus, although sorrow for sin may motivate you to go to church.
Yeah.
It may motivate you to read the Bible or $5 from your grandmother.
Yeah.
And it might motivate you to pray. It might motivate you to meditate on the Gospel of John. You might read a chapter every day and meditate on it. But when you finally are born again, it's because you believe the promise of everlasting life that the Lord Jesus makes, not because you prayed, not because you went to church, not because you read Billy Graham or you read Charles Stanley, not because you read the Gospel of John. It's
right.
because you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And in terms of our Christian walk, sorrow for sin is not the issue either. The issue is we walk in the light of God's Word and we acknowledge our sins and God cleanses us and we continue to grow
right.
in the faith.
And by the way, other people might have different motivations for coming to Jesus. I can imagine someone who is just weary. They just don't see the point of going on. It's not a sorrow issue. It's just an exhaustion issue. And what did Jesus say? Come to me, you who are weary. And that might be
right.
a reason for someone to go for Jesus because they've heard that Jesus can be their rest.
Absolutely.
You know, or someone who is feeling a lot of anxiety, who's worrying all the time. And Jesus makes these promises that, listen, if you believe in me, you're saved forever. You have everlasting life. And someone with a lot of anxiety might be attracted to Jesus for that reason, for the peace that he gives.
Right. It wouldn't eliminate all anxiety. In fact,
no.
it wouldn't eliminate most anxiety, but it does eliminate the most important anxiety, which
right.
is where am I going to spend eternity?
Right. So that's a different story that might lead you to Jesus. But anyways, thanks for the question, Dominic. I hope that kind of clears some things up for you. Here's a question from Tom. He says, how does GES explain eternal security in light of 1 Corinthians 15:2?
I like that question. Maybe we can go over that.
Yeah. So, well, that's why I asked the question, so we can go over it.
That's good, John.
So in 1 Corinthians 15:2, this is kind of interesting because in what's known as the free grace movement, this passage is often brought up as the alternative, what you need to believe to be saved at all.
However, Sean, most people skip over verses 1 and 2 because verse 2 is puzzling to them.
Right.
And they go to verses 3 through 11, which talks about Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose
right.
from the dead according to the Scriptures. And then he appeared to many. And they skip over 1 and 2. So why don't you read 1 Corinthians 15,
sure.
1 and 2.
Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So I can see where Tom is going. He's questioning eternal security, and it sure seems like the salvation that Paul is talking about here is something that you have to hold fast to in order to keep. And it's possible to believe in vain.
Everything you just said is correct, but we need to unpack that. So let's take the last point first. Unless you have believed in vain. To believe in vain would be to believe something that's not true. Look, for example, at chapter 15 and verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Why? Because the previous verse says, then those who have fallen asleep in Jesus have perished. In other words, they've simply ceased to exist.
He was basically saying, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then all of this is nonsense and we've believed in vain.
Yeah, he says, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty.
Right.
And you have the same basic thing in verse 17. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. And if you look at verses 12 and following, it's all about the resurrection of Christ. Now, what some people do is they drop in on 3 to 11 and think the emphasis is on the death of Christ. No, the emphasis even there is on the resurrection of Jesus.
Right.
Because verses 5 through 11 is about all of his post-resurrection appearances that prove he rose from the dead. And even the reference to his death and burial prove the resurrection.
Mm.
Now, what are verses 1 and 2 talking about? Let me give a brief discussion. We may need to finish this more later. But to believe in vain would be, if this isn't true, you've believed in vain.
Yeah.
But when he says you are saved, it's a present middle passive. You are being saved. Mm-hmm. This isn't salvation from eternal condemnation. If you look at chapter 3 and verse 15 and chapter 5 and verse 5, I believe this is being spiritually healthy.
Yeah.
And what Paul is saying is, you stand in the good news of Jesus Christ, particularly his resurrection, and if you hold fast to it, you are spiritually healthy.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, there is no truth to it.
Right.
But there is truth to it. So the way you're spiritually healthy is you must hold fast. And so the point is, we never, never outgrow the cross of Christ. We never, never outgrow the empty tomb. We live every day in the shadow of the cross and the opening to the empty tomb, awaiting the soon return of our Savior. And if we ever lose focus on the good news that Jesus died and rose again, then we will cease being spiritually healthy.
Right. Major Ian Thomas used to say, Christ not only saves us by his death, but he also saves us by his life, because it's by his resurrection life that we live the Christian life now. The short answer is, isn't that what Paul's telling the Corinthians here?
Exactly. And we must continually hold fast to the good news. That's why, by the way, the Lord's Supper is a continual reminder of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. If you take it every week, at least once a week, you're remembering that. But I hope every one of you is remembering the death and resurrection of Christ all throughout every day.
Amen. Thanks for the question, Dominic and Tom. If you have questions for us, send them to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the meanings of the words abide and believe, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.